Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hope in us does an amazing and marvelous thing. It stirs up faith. We had a wonderful thing happen in our community this week that I want to tie into this morning. The community's been preparing for a long, long time for an event that they wanted to believe would happen. Our natural faith is not as certain as our faith in the Lord Jesus, but even natural faith motivates us to have hope for the future. We started to see the school colors more prominent in the town through the last month. This hope was stirred because there was one victory after another by the football team. And you started to see the businesses change their store windows to be school colors. And then little tassels went all along Sangamon Avenue all the way through town so that anybody coming through town would ask, "What's up with that?" When we have hope in the Lord Jesus, we begin to set a stake in the ground. We begin to mark the territory. We begin to set out our expectation so that people will begin to look around and say, "What's up with them? What is the deal with them?" You are predictable by your faith behavior as to what you'll receive. You see, spiritual things are absolute and certain because they're founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in a contest that still has to be won, but rather in a contest that already has the victor claiming the victory. Well, in Gibson City, they're celebrating, we're celebrating state championship for the football team. Now, we clap at that, but, you know, there was activity in town and a ruckus going on, and I heard at the gym where most of the football team works out in their off hours. I'm usually there when many of them are there. I heard them talking about what it would be like to come back to town in victory. And they were talking about maybe there would be fireworks. There was. Why, Sibley chose a big fireworks show. I think they borrowed early because they had a reason. Maybe there would be a parade, and there was. Maybe there would be sirens, and there was. Maybe they could stir up the whole town, and the mayor wouldn't get upset about it. Maybe everybody in town would turn their lights on or flash lights, and many did, because there was a sense of expectation before ever anything happened. There was a hope stirring. You would have thought in Gibson City by the pre-parade, by the activity going on before the parade, that they were absolutely sure and they wanted to be. But there's that kind of difference between natural hope and natural faith and spiritual hope and faith, because we know when we tap into what Jesus has done, the victory already belongs to us. So I think we should send up with a shout this morning for the expectation of what we have in Christ Jesus. Well, this morning you can be seated in the sanctuary. What a happy time to be together. Faith gives us the ability and the challenge at the same time to bring thanksgiving by faith. I want you to understand that Thanksgiving has become somewhat a secular holiday and being kind of rolled over by many for the sake of, oh, well, we'll call it the beginning of the holiday season or the winter season or the whatever they want to call it now in the secular world. And they roll over the purpose in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving happened in the autumn in a feast that we know in history, but true Thanksgiving spiritually happens at the planting season. It happens at a time when we're looking forward rather than thankful for the moment and the time behind. Thanksgiving with God calls on us to operate in faith. Thanksgiving says when the harvest has come in, it's nice to have a little extra. It's nice to have something put away for the season to come. But scripturally, harvest was the season marking a new beginning. It was the beginning of the new year. It was the beginning of new expectation. It was territory being marked off for the new season. So many times in Scripture, the enemy came against Israel to steal the harvest. Because if the enemy could steal from the harvest, he would make it very difficult for God's people to be in faith and celebrate in a season when there didn't seem to be enough. So Scripture calls our thanksgiving a sacrifice of praise. It isn't today about how God has done you right or how much you're experiencing, but it rather should be a proclamation, a prophecy, if you will, of things to come and what you want to see happen. What you're believing God for. Faith is interactive. Thanksgiving is meant to be interactive. Today we'll receive what we call an open communion. That means if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to receive at His table. And it's a renewal. It's a mark of a new beginning. It's a statement of faith on our part. That everything that Jesus did, He did for us. And we're activating that by faith. Or we're receiving it by faith. Or we're taking hold of that by faith. Faith is active. It requires us to do some things. Today, thanksgiving should be by faith. It shouldn't be about the past. I want you to begin to get a vision for what you most would be thankful for should it happen to you. Think in line with the Scriptures and what Jesus did for you. When He died taking your sin to the cross so that you could no longer be bound to the chains of sin. When He rose again, He rose in victory so that even in His body, His resurrected body, we would see the resurrection of the Lord and say, heaven belongs to me. But we wouldn't only see heaven, we would see healing for our body. We would see provision for our lives. Jesus' thanksgiving working in us moves us to the supernatural. Moves us away from the ways of this world to live more like the ways of heaven. So, Pastor, that's a bold statement. Jesus was a bold man. Jesus came to be bold enough to get somebody to believe that the Heavenly Father loved us that much. Thanksgiving's a bold message. It'll require you to look ahead and speak from what you believe that you'll receive from God rather than what you've experienced so far. Thanksgiving is your way to proclaim what God will do in your future. I want you to get a hold of that because I cannot project this into you. I can simply tell you what the Scripture says for you to do. God gave you an imagination that I call the seed of faith. If you can see it and you know God said it belongs to you, you can believe it. If you can believe it, you can take hold of it and have it. Here's how you know you take care of something and take hold of it by faith. You begin to thank God and thank God and thank God. And maybe you have images in your mind of what you desire. And all of a sudden, that thanksgiving comes from a place deep on the inside of you. Called your spirit man or your inner man. The most important part of you, the part of you that lives forever. And when you begin to give thanksgiving there, it's like a lion roaring out in the forest. Everything stops and stands still because it knows there's someone of authority stepping on the scene. And everything in the forest is wondering, what's up with that? What's going to happen? You should have a sense that you've stirred things up like that when you give real thanksgiving to God. When we say it in simple words or sing it a little bit, that's leaning us, that's baiting us, that's moving us toward real thanksgiving. Real thanksgiving is infectious. If any one in 100 will take hold of it, the other 99 around them will be affected. And the more the one who has hold of thanksgiving stays stirred up, the more others will get stirred up. We're proof of that around here. You put somebody in front of you, get stirred up, and we ask you to, you'll get stirred up too. Why? We know it's a spiritual, scriptural principle. Well, I want to show you some things about thanksgiving, and we're going to do it. We're going to do thanksgiving in a way today that it sets a precedent for the whole year. We're going to offer thanksgiving in a way today that it puts our faith and hope in Him and not in the circumstances around us, not in this world, not even in our own ability, but rather in God's ability. This morning I want to begin in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 because it says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Well, you might say concerning me, because it is. Now, that is a tough deal. in everything, give thanks to God because it's His will concerning. There are moments in my life I'm not feeling like that. There are moments I'm not thinking like that. There are moments that that is challenged. Rare is the moment that I move to feel like giving thanks no matter what. Rare is the moment I don't have some challenges saying, well, why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? Spiritual things speak of what's right with us, no matter what's wrong with us. In other words, you're going to have some contrast to offer real thanksgiving. It's the way that we shift from being bogged down in the things we don't like to seeing how God sees us restored to the fullness of the blessing of God. That's why He said in everything, the most important time to offer thanksgiving is when you're not seeing it and you're not feeling it and you're not even believing it. Thanksgiving is an action that moves us toward faith. It stirs up faith. It stirs up hope. It stirs up an expectation. I find the longer I live, the more I need thanksgiving because the more there seems to be discouragement in the world. There seems to be distraction. There seems to be despair. There seems to be all kind of discouraging things. And I've decided if I'm going to be a fountain of anything, it'll be a fountain of thanksgiving because that's the water that flows into the desert that changes that desert. Now, looking at the Old Testament, giving thanks to God changes our perspective. That's why we do it. It changes our mind about things. Did you know when you begin to speak, you are proclaiming things to come? That's what the scripture teaches. Many don't believe that, but I've learned to believe it in everything. To guard carefully what I say, because life or death can come out of here. I want it to be a fountain of life. Now, the Psalms in Psalm 107:22, it says, let us make the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes that's tough to do. And declare His works, not my works, but His works, with rejoicing. Now that seems to cost a little bit at first. A sacrifice costs something at first. In other words, I have to do something I may not want to do, may not feel like doing. I might have to do it in front of people who will not understand it or appreciate it. I might have to do it long enough that people around me might think, what is up with them? What is wrong with them? Why are they acting like that? I know what's really going on in their life and they're not acting like that. It's because thanksgiving opens our eyes to see beyond what's happening in the moment. Now, Psalm 126 verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that whole psalm is about the time of sowing being a time that turns to thanksgiving because there's a sacrifice in it. When you offer thanksgiving, you are planting the seed for the victory that you want to celebrate. You are planning the parade for the victory that is imminent and going to come because Jesus is predictable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can look at what He did and what He's doing and know what He's going to do. And when we set up to celebrate the victory, He comes through with the goods to make it happen. Now, Psalm 69, verses 29 and 30 starts out in a pitiful way. It says, I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Have you ever busted loose with a song of thanksgiving when you were feeling pitiful? It's a surefire way to bring God on the scene. Poor and needy doesn't bring Him. Poor and needy is not the calling card of God. It's evidence of the enemy at work. God rallies to our sound of rejoicing. And then the fruit of our rejoicing comes. When we wait to feel good or wait to experience more, or wait for prosperity to celebrate God, we miss it. He said, we're always going to see the harvest if we sow in tears. That means I can be absolutely at my wit's end. And if I will believe God and come into His presence with thanksgiving and come into His courts with praise, I'll begin to see Him taking care of my situation. Because when we get down, it's usually because we're not hope-filled and we're not faith-focused. Thanksgiving is an act of faith, one of the most important ones. You cannot be good at prayer and become very good at thanksgiving. Think about how good you feel when somebody does something you like and you're just, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes we're more excited about things that people do than what God's done. Now, he says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Here's what I want you to understand about changing our perspective. It puts the magnifiers on what you see to see the right things. Let's call it filtering magnifiers. Are those magnifiers? I was guessing a number of folks got them sitting a little bit low. I have some at home. Some of them are pulling them off like, oh, what's he going to do? It doesn't hurt a thing. This morning in the wee hours, I put mine on. There wasn't just a real bright light in the room. I put them on so that I could see and discern quickly in a snap what was what on my notes. Look up if I wanted to look up at something else and see them clearly. I had to look over the magnifiers. God's given you a supernatural ability that when you engage him in thanksgiving, he will cause you to see what you need to see so that you will block out what needs to be blocked out. He'll let you see the potential. He'll give you his perspective. He'll let you imagine something different than what you are experiencing with your natural eyes. That's what happens when we have hope. We look beyond the odds. We look beyond the opposition. We look beyond the moment that we're in. And we say, I choose to imagine this as though it's a victory. And our perspective begins to change. One of the most important things that they tell a team that's expecting to win is you've got to see it. You've got to so see it that you're living it. You've got to so imagine it that you dream it. You've got to so believe it in your own heart, in your own mind, that you talk about it. I listened to that happen as these boys would gather at the gym, four of them on the team working together. I listened to them. They would say, do you think, do you believe, do you expect? And before they leave, they're all, they were all there. What'd they get together? They did a little weightlifting, not a lot, honestly. They did a lot of talking to each other. Did you know that's what happens in the family of God if we're apart? Is we choose to stir ourselves up. And when you stir yourself up, it helps somebody else slide into gear. Sometimes we carry a gift and ability to do that that is a motivation. Every person has a motivational gift if they're born again into the kingdom of God. He puts something in you. In fact, God created us with that, and it's activated at a higher level when we come into the kingdom of God by accepting Jesus. And we're motivated to do the things God says to do. I don't know, there's times in my house when I'm not as motivated. Trying to think of a neutral example. A neutral example might be companies coming and I know my jobs. If I were to sit in my easy chair 15 minutes longer than I should, my added motivational gift will kick in. What's your plans for the day? Why? Well, what do you think you want to do? And she'll ease into it. What? Guys and gals, it's easier to ease in with him. Guys, it's easier to ease in. Why? It's an external motivation. But we can trust Jesus to work on the inside directly to move us to do the right thing. And what's the right thing? It will always rub off on others. It is never just for you. Recognize Thanksgiving isn't only for you. That's part of the corporate anointing when we come together. We raise our voices in thanksgiving and it drowns out some other stuff. For whoever's weak in the room with their voice, it kind of puts a little strength on it. Why spiritual things rub off. They're supposed to. Now, so first, giving changes our perspective, giving thanks. But giving thanks to God does the next thing immediately. It activates our faith. It turns the switch of faith on. It turns our ability to receive from God what we just were thanking him for. How strange God expects us to thank him before we receive it. But that's really what happens. We're thanking him, and as we thank him, we receive it, and faith turns on for the manifestation to come. Now, 2 Corinthians, this is New Testament now, chapter 4, verses 7 through 18, and I've paraphrased this down a little bit to fit it on one page and bring it to you a little more succinctly this morning. This is a letter written to a New Testament church, but a New Testament church that has been around about 70 years. This New Testament church has lost some of her fire. This New Testament church is not experiencing what Jesus said they should be experiencing. They're not seeing answered prayer the way they should. We should be alert and alarmed and affected when our prayers seem to be not answered. We ought to get stirred up about that and say, what is up with this? Because it's not a Jesus problem. He doesn't change. It means we've got to shift gears and do something spiritual instead of trying to produce it with natural energy or trying to produce it with positive thinking. This is not positive thinking. This is God kind of thinking. It's beyond positive thinking. In the natural faith, we want to think that way, a positive thinker. But in spiritual faith, we want to think like God thinks. So we looked at what the scripture says. And the Apostle Paul is trying to stir up this church to remember their potential, to get in touch with the miracle working power of God for the future, to have an expectation that God will help them in a way that they didn't earn or deserve. They just choose to believe that he wants to. Thank God we're not earning it. Thank God Jesus did it anyway. But we have to choose to believe that and receive it from him. I know many times as a kid when a gift was to be given, it'd be dangled a little bit like a carrot to hear some thanksgiving. I don't necessarily want to portray God as a carrot dangler. But I've learned he loves to hear thanksgiving before he produces anything more. Because we're thankful for Jesus. And when we're thankful for him, it leads to his blessings coming. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, we have this treasure inside of us in earthen vessels. So the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. There's something in you that believes this. There's something in you that is the faith of the Lord Jesus. Or scripture says, the spirit of faith lives in you. What is that? That's God's ability in you to believe it. God didn't give us a troublesome thing to believe that the scripture is true. He put his spirit in us so his spirit would say, that's right, you better believe that. When you start hearing that inward voice, you'll start saying things like, amen, pastor, that's right. I believe that, that's right. You might get kind of rowdy. Thanksgiving has some rowdy in it when you believe it. Why? We are hooking up with God's answer. We are connecting with his answer. Now, that the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Why then does he have us stir ourselves up to get excited and get loud and offer thanksgiving? Because it brings his power to answer our faith in him. God answers our faith in the Lord Jesus with his power coming through us. And many times that power comes first with a bold proclamation. I found what people like when I come to pray for them. If they're sick, they want me to pray that they're healed, and they want me to pray it boldly. Imagine that you're dying in the hospital and you call pastor and I come and say, well, if it's God's will, we'll pray that you live, buddy, but, you know, I don't know about you. You act kind of funny sometimes. Is Craig going to be blessed by that? He's going to be like, call for the elders of the church and get him out of here. Why? Everybody wants a bold proclamation of faith when we're in trouble. I've learned that the same bold proclamation of faith when we're in trouble works better when we're not yet in trouble. Helps keep us out of trouble. Why? We are proclaiming God's goodness like the parade that's happening before the game is played out in our life because Jesus already played the game. Simple as that. Now, this is not coming from ourselves. When we are troubled, when we are perplexed, when we are persecuted, when we are cast down, we are always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus. In other words, we know Jesus took all of this for me. I don't have to stay here. So that the life of Jesus, his resurrection life, might be manifested. He didn't say in our mind. did he? He said, in our body. Well, that's the lowest part of you, is your physical body. And he wants power in the physical body. Well, that makes sense to me. The older I get, the more I like that. The more I say, God, I can use a little bit more of that. Why? He will supplement. When we are weak, he's made strong. Well, we have to believe that. We have to choose to receive that. And one of the things that I do most every day when I, you can imagine this or not, I guess, but it's how I do it. I go in front of my mirror to shave. And before I start shaving, I start thanking him for working with his power in my body to help it be strong and outlast my assignment. I don't want to wear out before my assignment's done because I have an assignment from God. So do you. You may not know it yet, and if you don't know your assignment, it doesn't stop you from asking for the blessing of God on your body. Let your power work in me. Let your healing power work in me. Let me not wear out. Let me keep going. Let me turn 80 and be as strong as him. Let me turn 95 and be as determined as my mother-in-law. Let me be 100 and do it just a little better than any of them did. Why? Because they're not there yet. If they get there, I want to be there too. Why? I just choose to believe that, and that thanksgiving releases the power of God to work, and I've learned something. I don't care who thinks what about it. I don't care. Why? It's a matter of what I'm saying to God that I believe. And if I believe it, I can receive that, and it doesn't matter what everybody thinks, you know, but at 100 years old, if I'm still able to do everything I envision doing at 100 years old, they're going to think, that old dude's kind of cool. Why? That's what the power of God will do. See, I believe that that's what the power of God is meant to do. If we receive it, we receive it through thanksgiving. He said, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. That means he's living in here and he wants to kind of take over and be strong in there. I hate the picture showing Jesus is weak. He wasn't weak. He was strong. He was strong in every kind of way. Now, we activate this treasure by giving thanks. I can't activate yours. I can try. I can come over to Joanne and say, Joanne, what's it look like for Joanne to get stirred up? She's saying, oh, please, Pastor Doug, don't put me up and stand me up in front of the people. I won't. But she's got her version of stirred up. I can promise you that there's moments in her prayer life where she gets stirred up, or in her looking at the word where she gets stirred up, or in praying for somebody else, she gets stirred up. I've heard her come to me and tell me something she prayed for Lucinda and I that I know she got stirred up because it was right kind of praying. When you get stirred up, your faith will be activated for others, not just for you. Now, thanksgiving in the middle of this is our faith calling on God for a show of power. It's saying, God, I believe you've done it. I believe you're doing it. Come on, God. Come on, God. Say, Pastor, really? No, you're not calling the dog. But you're lining up with God. He loves faith that pulls on his shirt. I remember being a little boy. I don't know if I was 2 or 2.5 or 3, but I remember being a little boy because the next brother was a baby. And I remember baby getting a lot of attention. And I had been the only baby. And I remember thinking, what will it take for me to get mama's attention? I learned, pull on her shirt hard enough, it might tear it, and she will turn and see me. And I learned that saying wasn't enough, but there was a doing that was required. The Jews understand this. They call it grabbing the tallit, or the tassel, and pulling on it. It was kind of like, think of the little kid talking in a tone that's acceptable, saying words, but daddy, mama, off on another planet, doing their agenda, doing what they've got to do, and they're not quite hearing it, though they're conscious of this pulling on them. All of a sudden, there's a little extra pull. I learned what was too much by pulling the slip instead of the dress. All right? That didn't go over well. Now, I want you to understand something about the Heavenly Father. He looks for that extra tug that says, I am here and I am trusting you. And it's significant to him that we grab his garment just like Jesus said, who touched me? And it was the woman with the issue of blood grabbing the tassel on his garment and giving it a tug. She didn't barely pull it. I believe she gave it a yank and was trying to pop off a tassel. Why? It was an element of holiness. It was an element of connection with God. And our faith works like that. And you can go up there and touch it if you want to. But I would tell you, give Jesus a great pull. Pull on him. Why? It's his faith for something more that we're giving thanksgiving for. Now, thanksgiving is our faith calling for power. We have in verse 13, the same spirit of faith that Jesus has. That's what it's talking about. The same spirit of faith, knowing he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us by Jesus. Knowing that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving result in great measure. I want you to see that phrase, result in great measure, to God's glory. Now, God's not doing this just to give us something we're asking for. He wants to get the credit for giving us what we're asking for. When we offer thanksgiving before we receive something, we are giving him credit before delivery has been made. I had a situation yesterday at the car wash, washing both vehicles. I came through with the car and I wanted to get change out of the automatic wash. I'd done things by hand and I was going to let the automatic do it, and I was going to wipe down the windows on the inside. I've got my little way I like to do things. And I'm thinking, this is a Saturday afternoon. I've got to crunch, hurry up, and get a bunch of things done today. And I rolled in there, and there was an attendant. Usually there's the sign that says attendant, not on duty, but the attendant was there. And he came out, and he's spraying pre-wash down. And I'm trying to stick a $10 bill through the machine so I could get my change so that I could circle back around and vacuum the car out when I was done, because I didn't have any quarters. I got my two $10 bills from Lucinda because I didn't have $10 bills. So I was depending on the way I wanted to do things to work, and I had a plan. And I was trying to feed that $10 bill in, and it wouldn't go in. It'd spit it right back out. I said, I know this is real. And he came around and said, you must be putting some counterfeit out there. I said, if I am, it came from the bank, and they're the one giving it. He said, give it to me. I gave it to him, and I said, now I'm going to pull in with a second vehicle in a few minutes, and I want to do that with that one too. He said, is it a $10 bill? I said, yes. He said, give it to me. Why hesitated? Thought, I'm in one vehicle, I'm not in the other one. What if this dude runs off, you know? It just didn't feel right. I'm thinking, all right. You say, really? Yeah, really. I'm thinking, if he gets my 10, there's not another 10 in my pocket. I'm in trouble here. But I gave him both, and he put a token in to put me through and gave me $2 for the first one. I said, no. He said, is that the truck back there? There was a truck behind. I said, no, I'm bringing it my own self after this one's done. Well, we'll just keep your money. I said, oh, you'll still be here when I get here? He said, Mr. Lee will be here. I didn't know he knew my name. I said, all right then, I will trust you. And he just smiled, and off he went. Now, I came back with a second vehicle, and you know, expecting them to pop out and put the token in. Nobody came out. There's a little room behind the money exchanger, and it's real tight when you get in there with a truck. You got about a foot and a half. I found out I could squeeze through that little bit because I got up in there and cars were right behind me, and the choice was drive through and not get what I'd paid for or go find the attendant who's supposed to be on duty. He was on duty, but he wasn't having duty toward me. And I can blow the horn and make him come out and make a scene, or I can try to seek him out. They would have responded the same way either way, but with a different expression. But I went in the little room and I said, you remember me? And he looked at me kind of funny. He's still going to tease me. I said, I know you remember me. Because he didn't respond quick enough. I said, you holding my 10? And he said, we've got your token. And he came out and put the token in and gave me $2. Told me, have a nice day. I said, you have a nice day too. Don't forget to spray down my truck. So he sprayed it down. Why? That's how Thanksgiving really works. As we anticipate that there's things we need God to do in our lives that he will foresee, and when we circle back around, he's lined up for it, and he's already put the token in. We just come in there and everything activates. If you've ever been in a day where it seemed like things really went well, said, God, what this? If only I could have more days like this. You can. You begin to proclaim how it's going to turn out, and it will, because that's the promise of God. We have the same spirit of faith. I had to ask myself, do I have faith? There's two dudes, really. Do I have faith in them to do this? Yeah. When I rolled in, I didn't see him. Do I still have faith in them to do this? Well, Yeah, but I better make contact. When they didn't answer quickly, when I wanted them to say, we still remember you, Mr. Lee. And they didn't do, I still believe they're going to do it. And I could have driven through the car wash without it. And circled back around, blown the horn. I could have driven up in there and sat there and it wouldn't have started. That would have been the worst thing. I've been behind people that have done that before. And then they get out and they don't know what they're doing. I said, let me help you. Hop out and go help them. Or I can say, I know the drill with this. And I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to do what I've committed unto him for the car wash. Why, that's a scripture if you didn't know. And that's how things work with God. There's a deposit. We stir up our faith to take the right action and believe it's going to work. I've never pulled into that car wash that I didn't expect it to work. Well, you can think about that. Knowing that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving result in great measure to God's glory. He wants the glory. He gets a witness that way. He lets people see he's good when he's got somebody to work good through and work good for. Through thanksgiving or through the voice of my thanksgiving result in great measure. How do you get great measure? He told us about sowing and reaping early on. I put that in there on purpose because it's really about thanksgiving. The sacrifice is going to be in it. How do I make it great measure? You will receive from God in the same measure that you sow to God. You will receive in an expectation. I'll say it this way. Grace will work. The unseen hand of God will work to your benefit in as much as you are convinced, you are persuaded, and you became God's mouthpiece of what he was about to do. God doesn't do things to surprise people. He does everything to answer somebody's request. And when we make our request, we're to make it boldly at the throne of grace because that's the power that's going to come, and you get as much power as you're willing to put oomph into it. I'm going to say that again. You get as much power as you're willing to put into it on the front end. Jesus, thank you. I remember being the timid praiser in the early days because the church we went to, you didn't lift your hands. You didn't get loud. You didn't wiggle around. You didn't do that. And I remember coming among full gospel people and they had energy during worship and it just seemed strange. I remember going home and saying, you know, why are those people, why are they waving at God? Because most of them just put one hand up and they were like waving. Thought, don't they know he sees them already? I mean, I was in that church and I knew he was seeing us because we were at church. You know, I thought that's when he really opened the window of heaven to see who's at church. And if you get points or not that day, you know, that's what we were thinking. And they're waving. They must be making sure God, make sure you count me. I'm here. Put my star on the chart because I'm here today. And that's the attitude still of many, many people who don't really know what's supposed to go on there. Is what's up with those people that are moving around? What's up with all that? Well, that's an expression of faith that has some thanksgiving in it. But I found a little bit gets you a little bit. You know, if I go up to Orley's, I mean, you don't know, but most of this grew out by their farm, on their farm. If I went out there and planted one little seed, we wouldn't have that right there, would we? And if you didn't water that one little seed, there'd not been much, would there? No, because you got out there and watered. If we hadn't planted in abundance, there wouldn't be an abundance. And there was a lot of pain up front planting. I wasn't used to it. I got out there and thought, I'm on the farm and working people live on the farm. And of all farms, this is the Plenert farm and they all work hard. I can't wear out here doing a little garden job when that's, you know, that's really what, you know, the girls could do that job. I better really get on it and I better really work hard. Let some sweat come down and, you know, look like I'm real. What was that? I'm putting some zeal and sacrifice in up front. Then there's a season of thanksgiving that might be prolonged. You might not get rain when you want it. They saw me doing rain prayers out there because if I thought it was getting kind of dry, it was a chore to water. They haul in water. I felt bad using hauled in water. But I used it anyway, didn't I? Because you made sure you said, Pastor, use this. This will be easier. So I was carting buckets across the yard. And then, how in the world will it get that? It's better to turn on the wagon and let it pump out. It's a lot better. But you see, when we're challenged, we want to revert back to talk about the circumstance. Well, I prayed back there, and I gave thanksgiving the way Pastor said. Scripture says to look at a cycle, look at a year. That's the cycle God gave your natural life, years. To look at a whole year in advance and say, this is how my year is going to turn out. At the end, it's going to look like this. No matter what has to happen, it's going to look like that. Jesus, I give you thanks. I remember being out there one evening. It was about 8:30, and it was starting to get dark, and I just thought, it's too dry, and I'm too tired. And I just started thanking God. I said, thank you for an inch of rain. Thank you for an inch of rain. I said, well, Pastor, you should have been at my house then. You didn't invite me. I was out there saying, Pastor, I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for an inch of rain. Thank you for an inch of rain. Came an inch and a half. Did that several times this summer. I didn't have to go to Forest to do it. I did it right out on my porch, and I pointed in that direction. You know what I saw? The clouds line up, brought an inch of rain. Why? I chose to believe it. Now, some would say that was all circumstantial. No, it wasn't. I've learned that I can have faith for certain things, and that seems to be something I had faith for there. I say, well, why wouldn't you pray that on everybody? I said, Lord, according to their faith, if they're hooking up with you and thanking you today, let them have some too. Now, that's just how I prayed. I said, well, Pastor, we got to train you to pray better. Okay, you can. I'm talking about the matter of measure here. Because when you let several days pass and don't address the measure, this world will diminish what you're going to get. I want you to understand that God wants a relationship of thanksgiving. He wants us to seemingly be ridiculous about it. I remember in the late 70s when the word of faith was catching on around here, being kind of at the front end of that wave where I'd been trained up to thank Jesus a lot. And I remember being in public settings, and I would say, thank you, Jesus, and people would like, Freak, step back. You know what I found? I have the blessing of God in my life for being willing to give him thanks when people didn't understand it. And I've found since then, in the years to follow, many look at that. Say, if he's thankful, and if God is real, and if he's alive, and if this relationship thing with Christ is really true, there ought to be some evidence. That gives God the glory. Did you know the way he sees evidence? He sees evidence of your faith before anything happens to you that you're thanking him that it has. That's what he sees. Giving thanks wakes us up to spiritual things. It changes how we see. It opens your second set of eyelids. It gives you an ability to see what God had in mind when he made you and put you in the earth, and how he made the earth to respond to you. It takes away the blindness that the devil tries to keep people under. The kind of blindness that people don't even know that God is only into the good. They think God owns it all. He does the bad and he does the good, and he chooses who he favors. That's a lie, and it's not scriptural. And when we get a hold of that, we begin to say, all right, if that's a lie, why do bad things happen to me? Because we don't know any better than to allow it. So we offer thanksgiving, and it starts to change the atmosphere we're in to be more faith-filled. That's why I don't like to spend a lot of time around non-believers. What I mean by that is people who choose to not believe in Jesus. I'll spend some time there. But I make sure I'm charged up with thanksgiving so that when they see something good happen to me, they know who did it. And there be no mistaken in it. Well, I want their eyes to be open to the truth, not open to me somehow. I want it to be open to Jesus. So if I give him a little credit, see, it isn't thanking him until we put his name in it. Then it is. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's why when we sing worship, we're singing to Jesus, because we want him to know, I got a connection with you. I am a part of what you're doing in the earth, and you've already blessed me. Now, verse 16, we're in the same passage. We're doing this on purpose. This is all connected. Pastor's not picking obscure verses in the Bible to teach us about thanksgiving. We're looking at what he wrote to a New Testament church that was out of power. Why do I bring this today? Because thanksgiving leads to power. ultimately it makes the connection by faith to the power of God. Well, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it in power. I kind of have a personal philosophy. I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. And if I don't know what right is, I invent right. I work at it until I think it's going to work. People say, how did you know to do that? This and such. I've been doing this for a while. I've been choosing to do this for a while. How did you get that to grow out there? I've been doing this for a while. You just kind of learn what to do over time. Now, though our outward man is perishing, that means you're not going to look around you and say everything's peachy all the time. You're not going to look in the mirror. There's some mornings I look in the mirror and I think, dude, you're looking old. But I don't say that. I tell the dude how he ought to look. I tell the dude how he ought to feel. Then I tell him, let's thank Jesus for that because we can't do it on our own. We've been trying. And what it does is it changes my disposition from this just standing there waking up to choose to be cheerful. Even though the outward man is perishing, even though circumstances may not look the way they're supposed to, he was telling a church how to tap into the power of God because they were looking at things around them and they were missing the power connect. They were looking to things around them and they were talking about how the events of the day, the political climate, the persecution, the troubles that they were experiencing, that it must be limiting God. They were looking at circumstances to describe God and his power instead of looking through those circumstances saying, he never changes. He's a God of power. That's what Thanksgiving does, is it drops one lens and puts on the other one. It doesn't leave us the way we came into the situation. It changes our perspective. It releases the power of God to do something because suddenly we can see the potential. That's how God works with us. That's why some people receive more than others. Sometimes I say, and I really mean it, I just would choose to believe something. I just would choose. Well, Scripture is all about believing. Christianity is all about believing in the anointing of Jesus being in us. I just choose to believe that. So whenever anybody wants prayer and they're in lack in their life, sometimes I look at somebody and think, I don't know about him. Can I use you again? Yeah, them. I'll say them. We'll spread it out a little bit. You know, they're just young. You know, how could be the hand of God be on them? But they've asked for special. No, they didn't ask for this, but the Holy Spirit spoke it to me this morning early. There'd be an anointing on them. For the finances of the kingdom. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it. But he said if you begin thanking him, it'll shift things around more the way you've imagined it. He said he wants to just put a little tweak in your imagination to not yield to pressure. And in that, the power of God will come. Now, I could look at them and say, but they're kids. I better tone it down. I better not say, God's going to do something great. And the inside of them are saying, give us something more. Give us something more. Oh, let's draw on the gift. Well, I could feel that happening. They're on the inside going, tell us something else good, Pastor. But if I want to say, well, they don't maybe not know enough word. Maybe when they're 50. And they got a long time before 50. Maybe when they're 50, well, it makes sense that surely they'll do enough good things by then that they'll be strong financially for the kingdom. Is that going to result in thanksgiving if they someday when you're middle-aged, God's going to bless you? They're probably going to forget all about that. But if he proclaims it now, when they receive it is up to when they envision it, you see. They choose to say, I believe that I receive it now. I take it. That's what I say every so often. I take it. Well, I'm taking it away from the devil. He isn't going to hang on to something that belongs to me. I'm going to take it and snatch it from him. Yes. Good. A good football play is when the ball is snatched away. And somebody takes off running. Sometimes I do that. I snatch it and I do a little jog around the room. Why? I know I just got a hold of something that's going to bring the victory. Now, why do I say things like that? The measure is up to you. The measure is up to you. And he says, even though things are happening on the outside that may challenge, the measure isn't going to happen because of the outside. The measure is in you. The measure is Jesus in you. He's unlimited. We have to see him that way. We have to believe in him that way. Well, we're about to wrap it up. Our inward man is renewed day by day. That means it's up to us. Some days I'm a better receiver than others because I'm better at Thanksgiving. Some days there's just been enough stuff happen. I think I'm not doing that right now. How stupid of me. Let me say it another way. How stupid of you. Sometimes we are ruled over by circumstances that are going to change anyway. Not going to be the same anyway. We might as well discount all of that and say, I'm going to choose to offer thanksgiving as though everything right now is exactly the way it's supposed to be now. So temporary troubles work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You are not a normal person. You are a supernatural person. When stuff comes against you, God intends for you to come out with thanksgiving and flip that thing. God intends for you to call those things that be not as though they were, to call it in such a way that you say, I've got it now, to call it in such a way that everybody around you says, what is up with them? Are they crazy or what? Yeah. Crazy God's way. That's what he's saying here. Because we look not at the things which are seen, but we look to the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are passing away, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You got to look past the moment. I want the worship team to come, and the kids are going to come back and join us right now and come in, and we're going to receive a communion. I want this to be different than any communion you've ever had before. This isn't an I'm sorry, God. If you need to be sorry with God, do it now. Take care of it. Take care of any forgiveness issues, because this needs to get us. This needs to look beyond the moment. This needs to look beyond to the close of one year and look into the next year. What this will do is release the prophetic power of God to operate through you. I can tell you things that God wants for you, but you've got to believe it. And for you to believe it, you believe it in a way that you say, I'm going to take that. It is mine. Think of it this way. God only has good things. Today, I've kind of put it out in front of you. You got to reach out and snatch it and take it up and say, I'm going to have that. I'm going to offer thanksgiving now. Well, God will direct your hand to the right things if you just thank him. I've learned that so many times. People are praying for the perfect will of God. I'm going to tell you, it's easier than we make it. God is not trying to keep that a secret. He manifests his perfect will through thanksgiving. I've found when it comes to matters of healing in my body, my greatest weapon is thanksgiving. I know some scriptures. I know it's God's will. That's very important. But God's will is not a weapon. God's will is the outcome that he has proclaimed. When I'm having a fight, I need to take up the weapon of thanksgiving. So I'm going to flip this thing. I'm going to turn what is really, what I think is normal, being sick, and I'm going to turn it to be healed. But really we're saying, I'm going to take being sick and I'm going to set it right up. Why? The devil's tricked the minds of people to believe that we have to have things a certain way when God's word says we can have it Jesus' way. Amen. We can have whatever things we say out of our mouth, we choose to believe that it's truth and thank him for it. So this morning, I'm going to do something. You say, well, this is the end of the service. Pastor, you should have done this early. No, we're going to do it now. Before we receive from the table of the Lord, we're going to thank him in advance for some things. What we're going to do is they're going to sing a little bit. We're going to sing a little bit with them. Then we're going to offer him thanks. Now, remember, the measure is up to you. Remember, what it is you receive from the Lord is up to you. If it's in the scripture and he says you can have it, you can have it. But it's up to you how much you can have. Press down, shaken together, and running over. We don't get to press down without doing a press. We don't get to shaken together unless we shake it a little bit, quite honestly. And there's no running over until we shake the glass a little bit. I want you to understand that you are the receptacle. We offer thanksgiving and it's like an accordion happens and the storeroom of our heart opens up and we say, all right, God, you can do something bigger than I'm used to here. Are you not ready? Do you not desire to receive something greater from the Lord in the coming year than you've ever received from him before? I would be thinking, what is that? We know in the scripture, He wants us to be strong. We know that He wants us to be healed. We know that He wants us to have an abundance so that we can give to every good cause. We know that He wants us to have confidence in His Word and understand it, to have revelation knowledge of who God is. We know all of these things, but some receive more than others. I begin to think to open up all of those storerooms. See the storage room of God. It looks little from the outside. But when you begin to give thanksgiving, it expands the potential for you to receive. And what happens when you're calling on God and giving Him thanksgiving, you're saying, my container is getting bigger. My expectation is greater. And I can envision this is God I'm dealing with and talking to. And He likes to fill to the overflow. And while He's filling me up, I'm going to let Him shake it together. And when the enemy tries to shake your faith, you shake back. Say, oh, no, no, this is just my storeroom getting bigger. And when that accordion opens up, it's shaking some things a little bit. It's causing something to happen. There is a rumbling on the inside. And you call those things that be not as though they were. And you say, this is designed to receive. See, the Holy Spirit is a master architect. He made you to be the habitation of the Lord. Did you know everywhere God lives, there's storage room for more? Why? We can never exhaust His supply. Say, Pastor, why are you I want your faith to expand. When you offer thanksgiving, your faith will expand. Well, we're going to stand and worship the Lord a little bit.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.